The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 3, Scene 5. I'm Jerry Williams from Richmond Magazine.
I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly.
Last night, we all three were at the opening night of Desire Under the Elms at Firehouse Theater, and we haven't talked to each other yet, so we're going to talk about the show now. Let me just let you know that it is at Firehouse Theater through November 5th. When an aging father returns to his family farm with a young bride, she is greeted with skepticism by the remaining son. Her ambition and yearning lead to personal encounters of tragic proportions. And let me just say up front, this is an Eugene O'Neill play, and his work was considered at the time when it was written as realism back in the 20s. Of course, now it's not quite naturalistic anymore. It's not exactly stylized, but it's kind of poetic, and the emotions are kind of on that Greek tragedy level of drama.
Well, and O'Neill did take it from
Hippolyta. From a Greek play, right.
Yeah,
right.
From Phaedra and Hippolyta.
So what did y'all think of the production?
I liked it a lot. I thought all of the actors were really well cast in their roles. I thought the set was amazing.
I loved the set.
Loved that set.
Very nice set.
And it was just a satisfying production. It wasn't flashy, but it told story, and I enjoyed the story.
Let me just interrupt you real quickly before we go any further. The set was designed by Chris Raintree, and it was simple. And I just want to add before we get into the production, since we kind of veered off on that to start, Bill Miller's lighting was also wonderful. It was evocative, and it almost thought it was like another character in the show because it was so strongly a part of the show.
Well, and the way the lights in the set worked together with some lighting underneath the set.
Right,
really,
and behind
dramatic.
The set. Yeah.
And there were some surprising moments with the lights, too, where they were coming out of places I didn't think they could.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. The strength of this production was really Josh Chouinard, who was the director.
Yeah.
I think he obviously has a sense for theatricality, and those opening moments were wonderful. He really made the show dramatic and effective, and just will mention that the show originally was 3 hours when they started it, and it was down to an hour and a half because they trimmed a lot of it and they changed some things around. I think it still worked.
I'm going to give you a pro and a con. I really enjoyed this production. I think, to me, it was kind of the Landon Nagel show. I thought he did a really great job of capturing a whole bunch of colors. It's a very, you know, involved, very intense role. And I think he did a really incredible job.
Right.
My con would be, I think Josh in general did a great job. There was a bit of staging that continued to bother me even to the end of the show, which is the way the rooms of the house were laid out.
All over the place.
You were never really sure what was house, what was outside.
Yes, you were.
I was, yes.
Was not.
I always knew,
the floor stopped being floorboards and turned into gravel.
Well,
I feel like every time they were outside, they moved to that part of the set.
Yeah, I didn't get lost either.
Okay.
I can see what you're saying, because it was kind of...
That's good.
And I actually thought it was kind of interesting that he put the house all over the set, even though there was other stuff in the middle of the set.
Maybe it's just me. I had a problem with that.
Right,
but
right.
That was my one quibble.
I agree. Landon was great. I thought, of course, Alan Sater commands the stage, as he usually does. This was like a kind of oversized character that he does so well. Amber Marie Martinez, as the only woman in the show, I thought she had some very strong moments, but I thought she could have used a little more emotional heft. I didn't think she was quite as powerful as that role could have demanded, considering where it ends up, of course, and we won't want to give anything away here.
She was one of my favorite parts of the show, actually.
Really?
I thought her performance was fantastic.
Well, and I think they're all very extreme characters.
Absolutely.
And I think she is extreme in a different kind of way. I mean, she's, you know, like you said, the only woman. The intensity of her performance was a little bit more internal than some of the other people, I thought.
Right.
There is a very dramatic ending to this show, and that was hard to pull off. I don't know that it's hard to imagine anybody really pulling that off to a fully satisfying degree.
Well, I kind of agree, because I felt like Act 2 really didn't quite have the dramatic power of the circumstances. I mean, knowing what happened and thinking, well, I was not devastated. Of course, keeping in mind this was done in the 20s, and a lot of the things that were happening that they did in this show in the 20s would be outrageous then. Now it's like, so what? What would you tell an audience member that's used to seeing contemporary shows to expect when they're seeing this show, which is a very different style?
Yeah, I think I would tell, you know, people who are coming to the show to expect some extreme characterizations, some very in-your-face kind of confrontation between the characters.
Bordering on melodrama.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think the word poetic that you used at the beginning
is
very apt to describe this production in both the language and the visuals.
Yeah. So I think we can all agree it was a strong production overall, and the set lights and Josh Chouinard's staging took it to the next level in terms of really making the drama effective.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
One little thing that I would toss out there, I would love to have read Josh's director's notes, which they're not included in the program.
Right,
I would
yeah.
love to hear his perspective. Granted, maybe he put it all on the stage, so we don't need to read it.
I appreciate that. There were some things in the theater, sort of placards or whatever on the wall about like the Greek myth that this is based on and about the whole citrus boom in California at the time that I think provided, if you needed any external
context.
Information, there it was.
I was too busy chatting with the people in the room tonight. Who had time to read the walls?
This is why we didn't chat. I read the walls.
There We've been talking about Desire Under the Elms, which is playing at Firehouse Theater through November 5th. Now, Claire has left the building, and I'm here with Dave, and we're going to talk about his new venture called Behind the Scenes RVA. Dave, give us the elevator pitch on what that is.
Well, with Behind the Scenes RVA, what I'm doing is partnering with the different theaters in town to provide different excursions, outings, tours to enhance the viewing experience for Richmond theatergoers.
Oh, cool.
So that could include dinner in a show where, you know, the director stops by at dinner, gives you a little pre-show talk. You see the show and then you have a post-show talk back and backstage tour. We just did something associated with Cloud Nine. So we had dinner with Rusty Wilson. He stayed there for the whole dinner, hanging out with all of us. We talked about his vision for the show, some history about the show, walked over to the theater, and then afterward, he answered any questions. We went backstage, checked out, you know, where dressed, all that kind of cool
happens.
Stuff. Where all the magic happens.
So what inspired you to start this, Dave?
Well, I think for just about any art form, the more you learn about it, the more you appreciate it, the more you're interested in it,
right.
the more you want to go back and see it again.
Now, is it just with the director, or could it sometimes maybe be cast members or somebody?
Yep. Absolutely. In fact, when we did Liz Estrada that Quill did, we walked around backstage, which was at the Dominion Arts Center, which is a pretty big facility. So we did some wandering around there, and we went with Melissa Johnston Price, who was in the show. We also ran into Greg Garrett, who was backstage. So, you know, it's a great way to just give people a little behind-the-scenes peek at what goes on.
I believe I also saw on the website that you'll be doing food for those people who want to maybe try something in addition to theater.
Everything that we've done so far has involved a meal and then the show.
Right.
So.
But it's not about the food. It's not about behind the scenes at the restaurant.
Oh, no. Okay. Not at this point. And in fact, the next thing that we're doing is with Desire Under the Elms, which we just spoke about,
right.
Where it's actually going to be catered. So we'll have dinner at the firehouse
right.
upstairs in their conference room. And then we'll hang out with Josh Schnard, the director. And then we'll go see the show. It's a great way to expand on the typical go out to see dinner and show. You come away with a lot more of understanding.
Absolutely.
A lot more background on what you just saw.
So you've just started this in the last few months. Where do you plan to go with this?
As I've talked to different people involved in theater, I think this could expand beyond, you know, dinner and a show to be weekend getaways. You know, people who are involved in theater may know that Virginia Rep used to do a week-long trip to England or
right.
Ireland.
Right.
And I could see doing stuff like that, too. We can
great.
Take this on the road.
Well, that's exciting. That sounds like fun. Now, if somebody did want to get involved and get this special peek, mm-hmm. how do they get a hold of you or how do they find out more?
The best way is to go to the website, which is behindthescenesrva.com, and you'll see whatever the upcoming tours and excursions that we have planned.
And what's the deal with the cost? Do people buy their own tickets? Do you set that up? How does that work?
It's all through me. It's one flat fee that includes whatever meal, tickets for the show, the tour, all in one big package.
Terrific. And certainly you've been involved in theater reviewing in this town for about 150 years.
So
you would be
it feels like it. Yeah, definitely.
So you would be an expert on knowing how to find that information and share it with people. So good luck and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And Dave Timberline and I have been talking about Behind the Scenes RVA, his new venture to take people behind the scenes of shows. And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. By the way, we will not be back until November 17th. Got a little vacation coming up. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRAR.
I'm Claire Boswell from Style Weekly.
I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly.
I'm Jerry Williams from Richmond Magazine. And we'll see you back on the 17th.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artseast.org.